it along. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Notice verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whom resist steadfast in the faith or in faith, knowing that your brethren in Christ in the world are all going through the same thing. So, we have a key that we can use, a practical tool that we can use. So when the enemy comes, Peter said by the Holy Spirit, resist it. Now, what does it mean to resist? It means to actively oppose. That means to stand against. In other words, you cannot be passive, but you must be active. That simply means that when he comes against you, you've got to do something. Are you with me? I understand we live in the age of grace where redemption is free, even though there was a horrible price attached to it. Yes, redemption is free on our end. It's a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. But Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you could be free. Amen. But we have to do something in order to maintain our freedom. We have to resist or oppose him. Are you with me? It's not a passive thing. There's some things that we have to do. Many times in life, I've been asked by people why certain things happened, or why God didn't do this, or why God didn't do that. I remember many, many years ago ministering to a person who had a serious illness, and their question to me was, how come God won't heal me? Well, that person really didn't understand what Christ had done in his redemptive work. The fact of the matter is, he already healed her. She just didn't believe it. How come he won't heal me? And I said, well, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50, I know that. How come he won't heal me? I said, well, you know, Peter said, 1 Peter 2, I know that. How come he won't heal me? I said, well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that himself, I know that. How come he won't heal me? I said, because of your big mouth. You keep saying he won't heal me. Well, guess what? He won't. Jesus said, you can have what you say. She was using her faith against herself. You with me? And she didn't understand how faith works. And so she was hindering herself. She couldn't pin that one on God or the devil. You with me? And so we have to understand how to use these tools. So, how do you actively resist? Do we have an example of it in Scripture? Yes. We talked about this last week. Jesus was tempted of the devil. After fasting for 40 days, he's in the desert, he's hungry. Satan comes to him. And remember what I said last week, Satan's weapons of choice are not guns and knives and bombs. But his weapons of choice are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And so he came to Jesus, he said, well, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Why would he do that? Because Jesus was hungry. And you get hungry enough, stuff starts looking good to you. I'm telling you, you've all done it. You ever go to the grocery store on an empty stomach? Don't do that. I've done it. Come home with all this stuff. And then after I eat a meal, I look at this stuff. I'm like, what in the world did I get that for? I don't even like that. But you know what? At the time, I was so hungry, everything looked good. And so he hits him with that, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What did he do? He took the scripture, put it in his mouth, and he spoke it. He used it as a weapon or an instrument to resist the thoughts that were coming against his mind. And if Jesus, the Son of God, the man who had the Spirit without measure, had to quote the Word of God to resist the devil, what makes you think you're going to overcome another way? You won't. You're going to have to do exactly what he did. Now listen to me. Here's the thing you need to remember today. You can't quote what's written if you don't know what's written. So it's important that you understand God's Word and be able to use God's Word to resist. Are you with me? Otherwise, you just let him run over you. He hits you with a thought, and you think, oh, well, I guess it must be true. I've been kind of feeling that way myself. See what I mean? And you fall right into the trap. That's not what we want to do. All right, what do we have to resist? Number one, we have to resist ungodly thoughts. Anybody here ever had an ungodly thought? Don't raise your hand. We all have. Are you with me? We all have. It's not a sin to have an evil thought. It's a sin to act on it. We all have evil thoughts. It's what you do with them. You need to deal with them when they hit you in the head. Are you with me? And I still do. I just say out loud, no, that's not my thought. Mm-mm. I know that didn't come from heaven. I know that didn't come from heaven. I know that wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? I had a little fella call me dummy one day in front of people. I didn't like that. You know, just something rose up in me, and it wasn't an anointing either. Something rose up in me, called me dummy. And I looked at him, and all these thoughts, you know, and the thought that I had at that time, and literally, this is the thought that was going through my mind. One shot, you can take him out. That's what I heard. One shot, you can take him out. And I knew what that meant. Just one shot, you know, lay him out on the floor. And I kind of wanted to. You know, and it's always amazing. It's always the little guys that do that. You know, big guys say something to you. You look at them, you think twice. You know, might take two shots to bring this guy down. But, you know, but it's always a little. See, Satan knows how to get you. He knows how to tempt you. Now, I've got this thought running through my mind. One shot, you can take him out. My emotions are percolating here. You know, the guy said something, I didn't like it. Now, I got two choices. Act on that thought, slap this guy and knock him down on the floor. Or respond with love. See, the Bible says, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. In other words, love doesn't keep score. You can say something stupid to me, I'm not going to hate you, I'm going to love you. I'm going to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They just dumb, God. They just dumb. They don't know. And so I looked at this man, and there was an uncomfortable pause. And listen, many times he tries to do this in front of an audience. The other four or five guys who heard it are standing there waiting to see what I was going to do. They're standing, waiting, listening to see what I was going to say. And they're all watching. It was quiet in the place. And I looked at him. I said, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Let me correct that for you. And that was it. Diffused the whole situation. See, I still didn't like what he said to me, but I didn't act on that thought. It's always amazing how you have a wild thought at the wrong time. One shot, you can take him out. And I wanted to, but I didn't. Because I didn't allow that thought to overcome what I know to be true in my heart. Are you with me? And so I put God's Word into my heart. So we have to resist ungodly thoughts. Brother Hagin used to say it all the time. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. You with me? Yeah, you'll have the thought. What are you going to do with it? Don't act on it and don't say it. Don't act on it and don't. When you say it, you give birth to it. When you say it, you give life to it. So you can have an ungodly thought. Throw that thing down. Quote the scripture. Do the opposite thing. You with me? Okay, what else do we have to resist? We have to resist ungodly attitudes. You know, there are times when you just don't feel like responding the right way. Amen? There have been times I've had to repent because I had an ungodly attitude. And I didn't cuss. I don't cuss. I wasn't fussing, feuding, fighting, but I was a little upset, a little angry, and it came through in the tone of my voice. And there were times I had to come back to people and say, look, I want you to forgive me. I didn't act right towards you. And they're looking at me like, forgive you? For what? They had no idea, but I knew. So we have to resist ungodly thoughts. We have to resist ungodly attitudes. What else do we have to resist? The flesh or ungodly appetites. You with me? Many times I counsel with people and they'll say, you know, oh, Pastor Young, you know, I don't understand, you know, I just have this desire, you know, and if it's in a sexual area, how come I got this desire? I said, because God made you that way. You're wired that way. You're attracted to women, hopefully. Okay. Amen. Hey, I'm telling the truth. But what you have to do is control it. Don't want to get rid of it. Control it. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. In Ecclesiastes, it says, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. If you're a man, you should always want your wife. If you're a wife, you should always desire and want your husband. Nothing wrong with having a desire. Channel it in the right direction. If you're not married, then you keep that thing under control. Are you with me? Well, Pastor Young, I couldn't help it. No, you didn't help it. You could. You chose not to. Amen? You chose not to. Now listen to me, if you can learn how to control your life, mortify the deeds of the flesh, control your body instead of let your body control you, when you're single, it won't be an issue when you're married. Because it's a habit, you've established it, and it's easy to do. You with me? See, but if you're wild and crazy before then, now you're married, you got a ring on your finger, and you think everything's going to be cool. No, you're going to have the same thoughts. They're not going to stop. Temptation will not cease. In fact, it may increase. Because some women like married men. I don't know why. Can't say amen, say oh me. It's just true. You know? So we have to learn how to resist ungodly appetites, the flesh. Now, that can run the whole gamut. There's a whole spectrum of things that you can deal with. Are you with me? Different people are tempted by different things, and so we have to learn how to maintain control. We're also to resist or stand against the curse of the law. What is that? The things that Jesus has redeemed us from. And we know that the curse of the law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death or separation from God. And so we stand against those things vehemently. Resist them. Don't succumb. Don't give in. Are you with me? Take God's word, put it in your mouth, and resist. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54. And I want to finish this quickly. I don't want to go another week. Let's knock this out, all right? Isaiah chapter 54. And I want to show you how God has made provision for us so that we can stay free. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, we'll begin with verse 10. Notice this. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, the word afflicted is a Hebrew word that means to be depressed in mind or circumstances. To be depressed in mind or circumstances. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphires, and I will make your windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles and your borders of pleasant stones. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. Now, this is key. In order for you to experience God's abundant provision, this is His mindset toward us. He not only wants you to live in peace, But that peace will extend down to your children. But notice this. He says, in righteousness shall you be established. Too many believers aren't established in righteousness. They're established in sin consciousness. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're either one or the other. Take your pick. Well, I know we all sin a little bit every day. Nope, don't have to. You're established in the wrong thing. You need to be established in righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. So you need to identify with Him. Notice the rest of this verse. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Many times when I minister to people in desperate situations, I often tell them the first thing you've got to knock down is fear. Stop being afraid. God's got your back. He has made all of the resources of heaven available just for you. And what the enemy endeavors to do is bring fear first. And then fear will cause you to get distracted and to lose heart and lose courage. People often ask, well, why do bad things happen to good people? For a lot of different reasons. But there was one man that we know about in the scripture, Job, had a horrible time. Well, why did this happen to him? He told us out of his own mouth, Job 3:25, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Literally, what he said in Hebrew was, I feared a fear and it came to pass. The fear was there first. So we need to be established in righteousness, number one, and not be afraid, number two. Amen. Amen? For you shall not fear. Notice the rest of this. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I will never forget that verse. That's the verse that Stacy Martin stood on when the enemy attacked her. They had had a meeting during the week, and Pastor Martin shared this verse, and she said, it just resonated with me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And she kept quoting that verse and meditating on that verse. Went to work the following Monday. All of a sudden, she had a headache like she'd never had before. Felt dizzy. Was about to pass out. And she's a nurse in one of the best neuro hospitals in Philadelphia. So she told one of her fellow workers, get a stretcher, put me on it, and call my husband. Just before she passed out, lost consciousness. She said, get me to the emergency room. They took her into the emergency room, didn't know what it was, sent her up to ICU. They did a CAT scan, and she was having a bleed in her brain, an aneurysm. And so they did the procedure. They put her in a coma. They called her husband in. He got there. They gave him the bad news, said, well, she's got a 50% chance of surviving. And if she survives, the chances are minimal that she'll be normal. Many people survive but stay in a comatose state or they live their life as a vegetable. But most people, when they have an aneurysm in the brain, well over 50% die. So they kept her in the coma for a few days. We got the phone call. We started praying. But 2 days later, they decided to bring her out of the coma to see what condition she was in. Brought her out of the coma. When she woke up, she started quoting the word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So Pastor Martin said, they gave me the report, well, she probably won't be able to do this, do that, do the other. Well, she was home in a few weeks, walking and talking and living life the way God intended her to. In fact, our regional director, Sam Smucker, Lisa Kalbach, his secretary, had put the word out for all of us RMAI people to pray for Stacy Martin and what had happened. And I called Cliff. He was at the hospital. He said, yeah, we're just believing God, brother. Just believe in God. And she called Lisa back the next day and said, Lisa, it's Stacy. She said, it's who? It's Stacy. She said, God is so good. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And Lisa was stunned. It was Stacy quoting the word to her on the phone. And Stacy Martin is doing well. Man, we saw her this past August and we just had a great time. In fact, she was here in June for the wedding. She was here with her husband. Looked good, talked well, no neuro deficit, no physical deficit. She had to have a little bit of rehab. But listen, when the enemy comes against you, don't fold up and go home. Know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The last part of that verse, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant? You're better than a servant. You're a son, you're a daughter. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, let's look at one last passage. We'll close with this. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. You guys learning anything?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Psalm 37. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We have to resist if we're going to live this life the way Jesus intended us to. Amen? Amen? Psalm 37. We'll close with this. And we'll begin with verse 34. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 34. Everybody got it? All right, follow along with me. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Listen, I want to interject something. There was something that came to my heart during praise and worship when the Scripture says, show me your ways. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God showed His acts to the children of Israel, but revealed His ways to Moses. Now, there's a distinction there. What does that mean? That simply means the children of Israel saw what He did. But Moses understood why He did it. And in the same manner, God's purpose and plan for you is to not just understand what He does, but how He does it. And that's why we have the written Word of God, so that we can take these keys and use them. Amen? Amen? It's one thing to be a spectator. Another thing to be an active participant. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like watching football. But I like playing football a little bit better. Of course, at my age, I know better than to get out there and to get tackled. Right? Right, laughing. Yeah, I know my limitations, man. Amen? It's like basketball. I love watching a good basketball game. I like playing better. Amen. Notice Psalm 37. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, and I sought him, but he couldn't be found. Notice this. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Now that word strength is a Hebrew word, moatz. And it means he's their fortress or he's their defense. So in a time of trouble, I always tell people this, never run from God, even if you've messed up. Run to Him. Run to Him. If you messed up, say, Father, forgive me. Bang. He'll clean you up. You're righteous. Run to Him. Because He is a strong place. Notice this. The end of that verse. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen. How do you stay free? Trust in the Lord. When times get rough, run to Him. Never run away. Always run to Him. Allow Him to minister to you through His Word.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Now, when you run to Him, what does that mean? That simply means, have you ever wondered what the Scripture meant When it says in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, what is the secret place? Well, that refers to a place that's hidden from view. In other words, it's not a public place, it's a private place. And so, one way to think about it would be that private place of prayer that you have. See, everybody prays when we come to church. You know? I'm serious. Lift your hands, bow your heads. Everybody prays when you come to church. What do you do when you get home? What do you do when you get home and the devil's up your stuff? I don't mean to provoke you with that statement, but you know what I mean when I say that. When the devil gets on you. One time the word of the Lord came to me. He said, worship and praise, that's what you need to do. Worship and praise when all hell breaks loose and the devil gets on you. Well, that's what we need to do. Go into that secret place, hidden from view, and either get in His Word or get in His presence. Either way, He'll give you the right thing to do. He'll tell you exactly what to do. He'll tell you exactly what to say. But you're going to have to deal with the thoughts. Make sure that you're living and staying free. Amen? Amen? Did you guys learn anything you can use out of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord.